If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We got Jeanette on the line here, and we're talking about the last segment of our Suddenly Single Mom series, Moving On for the Suddenly Single Mom. And Jeanette, once again, thanks so much for being with us on the show today. Thank you for allowing us to use your experience and your thoughts and your inspiration for single moms out there who have been suddenly thrust into this thing called single motherhood. And so what I want to do is reintroduce you to people who may not have heard the first two segments, and and then introduce you to those who haven't. So go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for inviting me to be on this series. This has been so much fun. I've really enjoyed talking to you and talking to all your listeners. So for those who haven't heard the previous segments, I am an author. I have been writing for about 20 years, and I'm the mom of two boys. My oldest is going to be 28 on Tuesday, and my younger one is 16. He's a junior in high school and just got his learner's permit to learn to drive. So I'm on to another a very scary stage of life as a mom. But I became a single mom in 2011 when my husband left after 22 and a half years of marriage. And for the first year and a half, I really got through it with the help and support of my church family, which was, I mean, I really had an amazing experience compared to some that I've heard, where I really had a big support system, which taught me the importance of having a support system, and was able to make it work because I had a lot of support. But then I knew that in order to really establish my own life, I needed to move. And so my younger son and I moved to back to my childhood hometown and live with my parents right now. And so my younger son is going to my old high school, which never stops feeling weird. And and his cousins are his best friends. And my older one stayed behind because he had a job and he needed to be able to start his adult life. His adult life had kind of been put on hold when his dad left because a lot of responsibilities fell on him that kind of kept him from being able to just, you know, do a lot of young kids his age. Typically do. And so now I'm in the stage of embracing my new life. I wrote in 2015, I wrote a book called Suddenly Single Mom, 52 Messages of Hope, Grace, and Promise, which was really shared my journey as a newly single mom and how God strengthened me and the things he taught me, and so that I can and use it as tools to encourage other single moms or people who are just going through a difficult time where life just got, you know, the rug of life just got ripped out from under them, and they're trying to see God's faithfulness in that. And after I finished that book, I started learning a lot about the importance of being able to move forward. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is the process of moving forward after life changes completely. And, you know, we have this, one thing I learned is that when life is never going to be the same, there's something about, there's something very scary, and the life I knew is never going to be what it was before, whether that was good, or even when it was not always good, it was familiar. But I found there was something about being able to accept life is never going to be the same. So what am I going to make of it now? And it's a scary process, but it's also once I had some experiences where I learned the importance of being able to do it. You know, good and bad. You know, observations that I made that were both good and bad. You know, seeing people who really were able to shine in their new life, and then those who were stuck, got stuck in that old story, and got stuck in all their anger, and I would see examples of that every once in a while, and I would think, I do not want to be like that. Mm-hmm. That is my motivation for doing whatever I need to do.
And that's an important part of this discussion is moving on. And let's preface this quickly, because one thing you said is that you want to move on, but sometimes it is extremely difficult to move on, especially when someone has hurt you as deeply as someone. In this case, and mind you, we don't know all the story behind it. We don't need to know that. Just like anyone else, you don't have to dig and dwell into people's personal lives. But, you know, as much as it hurt you to move on, but you had to. Because like you said, life is not going to be the same. And that is something so hard to accept. And I like some Hallmark movies. You know, we like the Hallmark movies where, you know,
yeah, me too.
Mom and dad, you know, break up for whatever reason, then a little girl makes a wish on a cake or something, and next thing you know, they come back together. But that's why we like Hallmark movies and movies like that, because we know it's going to get happily ever after. But it's coming to grips with the fact that life is not going to be the same. Tell us, I know the Lord got you through it, don't get me wrong, but tell us, how did you learn to accept that? Because you learned to accept that, but how did you learn to accept that? Because part of you had to think, well, maybe something will change, maybe something will happen, or so-and-so will get a clue. And it didn't. You know, they didn't get a clue. They didn't change.
Yeah, they didn't. And I think that all – I think one thing that helped was actually writing my book. Mm-hmm. That was part of the process. I didn't intend for it to be a part of the process of moving forward and seeing the need for it and seeing why I needed to, was because by writing the book, I revisited all that I'd been through. Mm-hmm. And all that, and I also revisited what I couldn't put in the book. Mm-hmm. And there was something about revisiting all that, the good and then also what God had done, that helped me see, oh, wow, what I had before was a mixed bag of good and good and bad. You know, things will never be the same, but there's a lot of things that I am actually fortunate to be done with.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some things that are never going to be the same that I needed to be released from. And that when I was able to see that, then I was able to. It made it a little bit easier to start, to start letting God show me what He had next. Because I'm like you. I love the storybook ending. It's like I started resenting Hallmark movies because mm-hmm. everything got wrapped up in a pretty bow in 2 hours.
Yeah,
I was getting really kind of. I was starting to mock them because deep down I was angry because I knew that I was seeing the process of me getting the new, you know, the happy ending or whatever it was that God had next taking a really long time.
Yeah.
And it might not look like I wanted it to look. Mm-hmm. And that I was going to, you know, we have to go through a healing process, and we have to sometimes. And for me, I literally had to move in order to move forward. And I was seeing that too. I was thinking I really did need to get out of that support system, even though it was good. In some ways, our support system can hold us back from really growing, because it was a support system built around crisis.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that I could have grown to the next stage in that environment. It was very loving, but, you know, it was I needed to be able to step beyond that and start making my own decisions and see what really God wanted and find a new church. And so I think part of the process was seeing, wow, there's some things that I would be kind of crazy to want to go back to. And seeing mm-hmm. some good things come along, like seeing the benefits of my son being with having his cousins around, and because where we lived before, we were kind of isolated from my family, mm-hmm. and so we missed out on a lot. And suddenly we were able to participate in activities and holidays and things that we had missed before. And I felt like I was catching up on time with my family. And so seeing that as a good thing, even though it meant, and then it made me sad that it meant losing my marriage in order to get, you know, the closeness with my family back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of grief involved in it. And, but I think I'm learning now that when we're willing to go through that, then we can start seeing it as a good thing. But I don't think we wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm glad I'm moving on. This is a good, you know, this is going to be a good thing. I mean, we do it kicking and screaming, and and days when we think, what if God doesn't have anything good for me? You know, what if this was it? What if that was my chance at having a family, and it's gone?
Understand. And I like that. One thing you said that I think we should touch on really quickly is that the support group that you have right during the crisis has to change, because that support group, it's vital for you to survive, I think, because some people do not have a support system. And this has been shown to me in a lot of different ways recently. Has someone, and I'm going to mention her name. Her name is Tam. And her son, unfortunately, has stage 4 colon cancer.
Aww.
He is 26 years old. And she has sent out a blast out to people, and she hadn't gotten a lot of response. She felt really bad. And I contacted her, you know, just seeing how she was doing. And I found out about it. And she was like, I'm going to keep moving on because the Lord's going to take care of my son and everything else. And so some people don't have that support system. Now, mine is completely different, you know, but she doesn't have a support system. And so I have been making a conscientious effort to care. Not that I didn't care anyway, but, you know, just to make sure she knows that I am here. What do you want to talk about? You know, but now,
that's good.
You know, you need from that crisis, now you need someone to help you keep moving forward, because in the crisis, it's about damage control, making sure your mind doesn't, you know, you don't jump off a ledge or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's what that's for. And then moving on, you say you had to go to another church family, because there's memories there with maybe you and him were together. There's memories.
Yeah, that's where we raised
situation.
Our kids. Yeah, I needed to get out of there.
Yeah, and that's hard, and that's very difficult. And so one of the things that Jeanette is saying right now is learning how to accept. It's very pragmatic. It sounds kind of depressing, but accept the fact that things are never going to be the same. That's hard. And then make sure your support system is not just in crisis mode. Now they're in healing mode. And sometimes being in healing mode may have to make big changes, like moving away from a common area, like a church, a common area that both you and in this case, her husband, but maybe it's, you know, if some of us aren't married, we have, you know, baby daddy drama.
Yeah, like that.
Maybe, you know, you got to move away from that place. Stop staying there. One thing I've seen, though, and I want you to touch on this too, is that some women, they won't leave. It's like they're trying to, well, this is your kid and you need to do this. It's like if he doesn't want to be bothered with his kids, you can't make him. You know, you cannot make him care. You can't,
and I don't think it's good for our kids either to try to make someone care who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I really struggle with the idea that a child making the blanket statement that a kid needs both their parents in their lives. Because if one of the parents is not a good influence, and I'm also not for keeping a child away from their parents when they want, you know, the other parent who wants to be with that other parent.
Of course.
You know, but if the other parent has no interest, and and you can look at that and go, but there it's what they need is people who love them.
Yeah.
And that's what I've learned through watching my son, is that his dad's not in the picture anymore. He's slowly faded out. But he has my dad, he has two wonderful uncles, he has two wonderful aunts, he's got so many, and God keeps providing these role models for him, where he has more than he would ever have if his dad was in the picture. And
exactly.
So, and I think when we try to force somebody to, like, you know, I want the, you know, dad to take this responsibility because I don't want to do everything. It's like, but what if it's better if you do it, or if it's better if somebody else, or I don't want him chasing me out of my church. If anyone's going to leave, it's going to be him. It's like, why fight that?
Yeah.
Because I've seen women do that too. They hang around at a church where their ex-husband is, and it's driving them crazy. But it's kind of like he's going to have to be the one to leave. It's like, why don't you just go somewhere.
Yeah, there's strength in retreat. There is strength in retreat. You know, you may not think of it because we're taught all the ladies independent and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We're showing all that. But at the end of the day, there's strength in learning, you know what, I'm going to protect myself by leaving. You know, when people retreat, they say they retreat to plan for another day. You don't sit there and die in battle, you know.
Right.
And I was thinking about that. We talked moving on. It's okay to retreat. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm not going to keep hurting myself. Because then you can't heal. It's like taking a knife or taking salt. Salt heals. You know, salt heals a wound, but it burns. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Instead of salt, you're taking a knife and steady punching yourself, puncturing that wound because you, for whatever reason, whether you're hurt or set up, whether hurt or upset or angry. And so
right.
These are some practical tips we're giving you because, you know, Jeanette has lived through them, and she's talked to other women who has lived through them as well. And we know we want to keep the family. We want that Hallmark ending. And you know what? I'm not saying Hallmark endings don't happen. I'm not saying that they don't happen. You know, it may take some time, and we want that, but, in the real world, it doesn't happen. We missed the strawberry cake, the little girl made a wish on. We just missed it, so we don't have it anymore.
and we do get to where we like them again.
Yeah.
I can watch them now and go, these are very sweet and safe.
Yeah, and you know what you're going to get, and you like it, and you want that. I remember one time I was watching, I'm allergic to Lifetime movies.
Watched one of those in a while, but those can be pretty intense. The ones I've seen can be pretty intense.
And so I'm allergic to them, you know, because I don't like bad acting. And so I was watching one earlier this year, and I talked about it on my Facebook. I watched it, and, you know, stuff happens, whatever. You know, the bad guy gets his due or whatever. But
right.
That doesn't happen all the time. That doesn't
happen.
No, it
doesn't. I know.
That doesn't happen, you know, and it hurts when you look, especially, and we can talk about this on the other side of the break, especially when you're dealing with a situation where you can't move on, and then you find out in this situation, let's say he has gone and got a girlfriend, he's got married again, he's moved away, not interested, and that's hard to move on from because you're saying, oh my goodness, what about the relationship that we had? Why would you do that and this happened? So we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break with Jeanette. And if you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can. Call in at 646. Call in 929-477-1965. That is our new number. Again, 929-477-1965. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literacations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literacation. Literacations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so glad you are here with me today. We are talking about moving on for the suddenly
Single Mom. This is part three of a Suddenly Single Mom series hosted by Jenna Hanscom, who has not just been sympathetic but has been empathetic because this is part of her story. About the 22 years of marriage, she was a suddenly single mom, and just the many things that happened to make her give her the ability to move on. You can get her book, Suddenly Single Mom, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. You know, Jeanette, on the other side of the break, I mentioned that what if you're trying to hold on and then he has gone on? In this case, he's gotten married, he's got a new girlfriend, whatever the case may be. Tell us, how do we move on from that? Because it's kind of, it's earth-shattering to think that your relationship wasn't worth holding on to, but they forward into new ventures. So tell us a little bit about that. How do we move on from there?
When we were on the break, I told you that my ex-husband got remarried a couple of years, mm-hmm. a few years ago, and it was about probably 2 years after he left, and I knew he would get remarried. I knew he had been dating, and so it should not have come as a shock to me, but when I found out that he was engaged, mm-hmm. something in me just flipped out. Mm. What ended up happening is I got in touch with my anger.
Okay.
And that was one emotion that I had I've kind of kept it at bay. And I had even been in a support group setting where someone had mentioned, you know, you don't seem to really. She hinted that I needed to deal with it. Someday I was going to have to deal with my anger. Mm-hmm. I'm not really an angry person. I don't rage in, you know, the way some people do. Oh my gosh, I figured out I could do that. I didn't get violent or anything, but mm-hmm. it just released this anger and this desire almost to protect the new wife. You know, he's gonna do this, I thought, how could he? And then I was mad because he got to have someone and I didn't. Mm-hmm. After all that happened, why does he get to have somebody? And I haven't even dated yet. But what it did is I had to let go of any leftover attachment I had. You know, it's just mm-hmm. he's moved on. And I prayed with my Bible study group right after I learned that he was getting remarried, and they were so kind. I mean, they literally gathered around me and prayed and mm-hmm. grieved with me and just let me not be okay with it and didn't give me any pat answers and then one lady even said something funny. She says, you know, you're going to get to a point where you realize it's kind of freeing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a freeing thing. She said he's someone else's problem now.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to have that attitude, but that day it was funny.
She
said, my ex-husband got remarried. I said, okay, he's your problem.
Yeah.
But it kind of released me to really have a life that was mine. And I had been holding on to my wedding ring. I thought I needed it. I had, you know, some people said, oh, I just threw it away. I just sold it. I, you know, and I was finally able I donated my wedding ring and I tried to sell it, but the consignment shop I brought it to was not very impressed with the quality of my ring. Apparently it had been resized so many times that it no longer had the stamp of authenticity on it.
Oh my gosh.
It was so symbolic. You know, we can't tell if this is genuine or not. So it's kind of like I was trying to release that part of my marriage and someone was saying it was garbage and not worth anything.
Mm.
And that just crushed me. And so I was going to a speaking event at my old church. And so I donated it to a charity that a friend was involved in. And she's like, you sure you don't want me to try to sell this? I said, no. I can't have one more person tell me that this is garbage.
Wow.
I would rather give it away and know someone's going to benefit from it than to I can't handle someone trying to attach a monetary value to it.
I understand.
Yeah, so
I understand.
It was, but that helped me move forward in a way that I didn't know there were things that happened in the process of him getting remarried that I didn't even know needed to happen, and, until they were happening, and being able to, and then a lot of fears came up too, because I think when we have to move to a new stage, a lot of fears come with that. Like, oh no, no, I'm going to have to deal with this. Nathan's going to have to deal with a stepmom, and mm-hmm. what if she's mean?
Yeah.
And she actually ends up being a very nice person. She's a nice person. I mean,
yeah.
under different circumstances, we might be friends. You know,
I know, right?
Yeah, it's like you know, too bad, but it was kind of. Seeing, letting fears come to the surface, and then being able to see that not all of our fears come true,
mm-hmm.
and that we are, and that then we can just kind of let go of that, and I was able to, that was actually when I started getting involved in divorce care. I realized there were things I hadn't dealt with yet, so I got involved in divorce care, and then got what I needed out of that. And then that was when, and it was going through the divorce care class that by the time I got to the end of that, I decided, you know what, I don't think I want to hang around with these people are great, and I've really benefited from being in a support, you know, in an environment where everybody's getting through the same thing, but I was actually starting to see some drawbacks to that, to hanging around too much with people who are in it, you know, in that kind of the hanging around too much with the recovery
mm-hmm.
crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we need it for a while, but if we hang around that too much, it can start being hindering us too. I started seeing myself being in danger of getting stuck in the old story. You know,
yeah.
telling it over and over again, and one day I just decided, I think I'm done. I don't think I even completed the class. I didn't go to the last class because what I decided I wanted to do was I really wanted to join the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the smartest thing I could have done. Singing with the choir for the first time meant I missed the last divorce care class, and I felt kind of bad about that. But then I think this is good. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is kind of God's way. You know, it wasn't by accident that the first choir Sunday was scheduled for the last day of divorce care. Kind of like that's not mm-hmm. It's okay to miss that. You are this is where you are now, and to be around people who were just kind of talking about normal things, you know, or normal everyday things, of being in a co-ed environment and meeting new people and doing something that I enjoyed that I had missed. And that's, I think that's part of, I think, the moving forward process too, is using our gifts.
I was going to say too that it's symbolic that it was, you're singing praises to God and not living in that old story. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like this, yeah. So it's a symbolic thing too. And so you have to remember that God has never left us throughout this process. He's never left us. And that's another thing that, you know, later on in the program we'll talk about, because sometimes you feel as if you're alone, you're not alone. And part of moving forward is sometimes moving forward you have to make that step. Sometimes moving forward, circumstances cause you to move forward. Like in this instance, your husband got remarried, so therefore no, we're never going back, you know, that
mm-hmm.
life is over. And then moving forward is that you got to get away from the people who kept you stable, like they kept you from jumping off the ledge, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? But now
mm-hmm.
you got to keep moving. Now life continues on. And realizing that gift that you have, because I know some women, and I like I said, I don't have those stories, so I have to just go by what I've heard from other women, but so I'm so glad you're here to expand on this. Some stories I've heard of women, they've been so mom and wife for so long, and then something happens and he's not there. They're floundering in the sea of, well, what do I do with myself now? You know, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this stuff. And so you said embracing the gifts that God gave you. Tell us how utilizing those gifts or discovering those gifts, because you may not have discovered it before because you were so dependent on him to take care of things. Now you have to take care of things on yourself, by yourself, and how those discovery of those gifts help you move forward as well.
Yeah, well, some of it was using gifts that I had always known I had but had to take a break from when we moved, because I was very involved in choir and worship team at my old church. And but then when we moved to my parents' house, I needed to find a church. And then once I found one, I just felt like I needed a break. Like I just needed to take some time to sit back and meet people and, you know, and go through the healing process and not throw myself into ministry. But then when I knew it was time, then it was so exciting to be able to sing again. But then I also found that for the first time, I was able to discover things that I really enjoyed doing that I had to, because so much of my identity was wrapped up in being a wife and mom. And before my husband left, he'd had a lot of health problems. So for the last few years of our marriage, a lot of my energy went into medical bills, you know, having to work a lot extra just to keep up with medical bills. And his, you know, these trips to the hospital that would come out of nowhere. And I didn't have that anymore. I didn't have that to use up my time anymore. And I really didn't know how to have a life that wasn't stressful. And so I needed to learn how to have a life that felt more, I guess you should say normal, literally what is normal, but a life that wasn't just so wrapped up in stress. And a lot of issues in our marriage that I didn't realize were just, I think, kind of sucking the life out of me, and I didn't know it. And, you know, it wasn't that it was bad all the time. It was just there were things that we lose part of ourselves sometimes in certain situations. And so one day someone asked me, so have you met the real Jeanette yet? And I said, I think I'm still getting to know her. And I learned there were parts of me that came out that I finally had time to embrace, like my creativity, and that all these areas of creativity that I dabbled in the past, but could finally really sit down and spend some time on and develop and discover that I really am at my best when I'm being creative, when I'm trying creative things, and being able to spend time with people and get to know them on a personal level and talk about something other than medical problems or divorce, and so I think that and then I ended up seeing that I had I was able to use my gift of my love of speaking more. You know, I had spoken a little bit in the past, but not very much. And so for the first time last year, I went to a speaker conference and finally stopped feeling like a fraud for putting speaker on my website. But no, I can do this. And expanding my horizons when it came to teaching at writers' conferences. I mean, I had taught at writers' conferences for a while, but I had kind of always stuck to the same topics. And I don't know, there's something about having life just kind of unfold, like going, well, I could do anything.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll teach on this instead. And developing my confidence as a person, my confidence had been crushed, and I needed to find it. I thought I needed to find it again, but what I needed to do was find it genuinely for the first time.
Understandable. Yeah. I like how you mentioned something real interesting about how moving on and all these gifts that you already had that were latent that you kind of tapped into but hadn't, because, you know, you put your marriage as a priority, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're not saying don't do that. We're not saying all of a sudden, well, I'm about to kick, you know, so-and-so out the door because I need to
marry.
No, it's not that.
Out of us. We need to get out.
You know. No, it's not that. But because things have happened and you start to rediscover yourself almost.
Yeah.
Because you've been a couple. You know, I think about, because the two shall become one. And that's true. But when it gets torn asunder, like it has been torn asunder, you have to be whole again. And not that you weren't whole before, for those of you flipping out, I'm not saying that. But, you know, you get torn asunder because there's a new identity has to rise, because I was Mrs. So-and-so.
Yeah.
Now I'm not anymore. Okay. And so we understand that. One thing I had to say, I met the lady. I didn't meet her to speak to, but I was at a conference for business networking or something. And literally, her story, she was married for like 20-something years. She had two kids. And her husband, she said, went out. The way she described it, her husband went out to get a 23-year-old loaf of bread. He never came back. That's what she described
Aww.
It. But what had happened, so he had left her. And so what had happened, he had taken care of everything. She didn't have any – she had no knowledge of anything because he had taken care of everything, but he left. And so she had to start working again. All these other things started to happen. But so she had to make money, and so her two sons put an ad in the paper, and she drew a picture of two stick figures in a truck, and the name of the company is called Two Men in a Truck. And so that was her logo, was that. Come to find out, now she's a multimillionaire from that. And she said, well, because it became a necessity, because she had to, because her husband left her, and she learned how to speak in front of people. She learned how to balance books, accounting, have her own business, lobby, everything, you know. And we were all laughing, like, I wonder what her husband thinks, you know. And so I've been telling my hubs, don't leave. I may become a millionaire without you.
You know? Better stick around. You have no idea what I'm capable of.
You know? And that's basically what happened, though. Because he had left, so she rediscovered parts about herself she didn't know. So she went from being not having any knowledge of balancing a checkbook to becoming a multimillion-dollar owner of a business. And her logo with the two stick figures is copyrighted and trademarked all over in Michigan. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And so that's what I'm saying about moving on for a single mom, because you don't want to get stuck in that same old story. You don't want to get stuck, I want him back, I want him to be the father that I married him to be. You
or
don't
want to
get
suffer.
Stuck and be angry. or suffer. You know, I want a bird to, you know, poop on his head or something happen.
I know.
You know? But you got to get out there, because there's parts of you that are going to be more explored as you move on. And that's why moving on is so important for a single mom. And one thing that Jeanette says, that having a support group is helping, but make sure your support group grows with you. And if they mm-hmm. can't grow with you, then you do have to get a new support system, because now you don't want to be stuck in that old story. You want to move on and create your new story, like you're doing now. Like, you started speaking, you started getting back into your writing, you started going at conferences, you started doing things. That's what happens when you move on. Life continues on, and when you don't move on, you're letting life literally, and I hate using the cliche, pass you by. You let mm-hmm. it pass you by, because you're not discovering it yourself. And so let's talk about the spiritual aspect of this. You're giving a lot of practical advice, and I think that's very necessary, don't get me wrong, but there is a spiritual aspect to moving on. And let's talk about that, because you could not have moved on if the Lord did not take you there. You could not have moved on if he did not put people in your life at the right place. You could not have moved on if you learned to let go. So let's talk about the spiritual aspect of what God does when he helps us to move on.
I think that when I've learned things about my relationship with God that I never and I think this is part of learning to see blessings in a really bad situation, is that I see that I've developed a closeness with God that I never would have had if I'd stayed married. And not that, again, not that the marriage was killing my relationship with God. It's just that there were things that I learned with him that can only be learned when we only have him that we can fully trust, because he's the only one who knows our situation completely and exactly what we need. And learning how to be honest with him about my fears and my my anger, and even being willing to trust him with my anger and see that, oh my gosh, the world didn't open up and swallow me. I actually am still okay. I'm still here and he still loves me. And seeing him provide the people I needed, even when sometimes at first it seemed like I was losing something. For example, when I was really getting a lot out of the divorce care class, and then feeling kind of pulled away from it, and thinking I was going to lose that support system. I'm going to lose this person. Then seeing what I gained when I obeyed his nudge to do something else, you know, just kind of learning to what happens when we pray about things and be really, really honest with him. And I think that I learned how to be more honest with him than ever before. Being able to pour out my honest thoughts in my journal and pray to him and say, well, so far he's been able to handle this level of honesty, so I'll really go for it. And I think seeing him as the provider and the source of wisdom and direction causes us, at least for me, has helped me trust him more and see how much I've struggled with trust in God, even when I do see him providing and you know, I can look back over the last few years and see all that he's done and then say, well, I still struggle with trust. My word for this year actually is trust. And I will tell you and all everyone listening, that is a risky word to choose.
Yes.
It's kind of like that when you pray, search my heart, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, really?
Yeah. And I hear you there because, you know, trust is so hard. And that's something I've dealt with just in the past of my own personal issues that I have in my life right now is learning to trust God. You say, but Parker, you know, don't you believe? Of course. That's not the issue. This is a work in progress, people. This is
yeah.
a work in progress. And, so
and it's okay
I'm glad
to be a work in progress.
That.
I think that
yes.
learning that, too, that seeing that it really is okay to be on a journey with God. That
exactly.
I think that's a huge takeaway that I've gained from all this is seeing that, you know, this really is a journey. At one point, you know, I needed to stop feeling like I needed to, like I had to have arrived in certain areas, and that it, you know, someplace I'm going to reach the place where I am the voice of wisdom for everybody.
Yes,
it's like,
exactly.
No, I think that we are much more relatable when we are able to say, I'm actually kind of still a mess. And if you're waiting for someone who has it all together, you're going to have to find someone different because that wouldn't be me.
Yeah, that would not be me. And I totally enjoy you saying that because there's something else I want you to talk on quickly because we're getting close to the 15-minute mark. It goes so quickly. close to the 15-minute mark. But what I want you to talk about is something that you said in the first show. Either you said it in the first show or we were talking at SoCal. I cannot remember, but I remember you saying how, you know, what happens is that I'm not as concerned about getting into another relationship. And that's a big deal because a lot of times, and in my experience, I'm not saying this is for everyone, so I'm not trying to be general, but it seems men have an easier time moving on and finding someone new than women do. Okay.
Yeah, I found
and
that
so,
too.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting. And so women can kind of, you know, they can be single for 8-10 years, you know, they can deal with it. One lady I knew was single for 20-something years after her first marriage, and she said, I'll never get married again, blah, blah, blah. And so with all that, you said, by focusing on the Lord, I'm not necessarily looking for another man. You said something to that effect, something like that.
Yeah, I remember that conversation too, and I think it might have been at SoCal. Where we, you know,
okay.
When I think the more I start seeing the benefit, I was thankful when I hit a point when I started seeing benefits to being single.
Mm.
Because I think it's really benefits us to see that there is freedom. There is some freedom in being single. And when we mm-hmm. can when we are able to when I'm enjoying the things that I'm able to do when I don't have to ask my husband, you know, hey, is it, you know, what do you think about me signing up for a Saturday morning Bible study? Mm-hmm. I can just look at my own schedule and my son's and what's going on, you know, in the house with my parents and say, will this work? And I think it was actually important for me to be able to do that because I got married so young. I was 21 when I got married. I was 20 when I got engaged. And so I really went from living at my parents' house to being married. I never had a real, I dated in college, but I was kind of become one of those girls who always needed a guy to feel complete and to feel valuable. And so I had to learn how to be single and be who I am and learn how to be content and confident as a person without a guy and to learn how to be who I am. And I think the more I did that, the more I thought, you know, I would love to be married again. I would love to have a relationship, but I want to share life with someone. I don't want to just date and, you know, I would love to have that. But for now, I think that I'm seeing God open doors that I could only go through as a single person. And when we can see that, I think that we, then we can enjoy those opportunities more because it's not getting all mixed up with our pursuit of a guy.
Yeah.
And having to deal
yeah.
with the fallout of that sometimes, you know, ending. I've watched my friends. I live vicariously through other people's dating experiences.
Yeah. Whoa! Don't do that.
Like, that's exactly what I'm not. Why I don't online date. Right
yeah.
there. That experience.
There's
is what
a
I don't want.
Yeah. You know. I remember my. This is a tangent. Top of my. Older sister, I said, why don't you try online dating? And she said, you know what? She said, a woman went out on a date. They found her foot under the guy's house, you know, because he killed her, okay? And she said, no, I mean, I'm, it's not funny, but it's like she went out on a date. She just wanted to have and her foot found under this guy's house. She said, you know, I'm not doing that, okay?
No, I know, and I know there's people who have found their spouse, have found wonderful spouses that way, and I think there's value to it, but personally, I know that it would not be a good choice for me because I need to be with the person to, I think part of it might be because I'm visually impaired and I draw a lot from my senses. I need to sense the person's vibe.
Yes, exactly.
And in order to sense that, I need to be with them.
Yeah,
and
I guess
so. Yeah, so I have to, and I'm too easily drawn into a sob story, a written sob story. And so if someone sucks me in with a dramatic story, I go, oh, poor thing. And,
poor
you know,
thing. Here's my $10,000. You know, but, yeah, I totally understand that. So for those of you listening in, we're talking about moving on for the Suddenly Single Mom, and who's hosting this series is Jeanette Hanscom. You can listen to the first two of this series by going to pjcmedia.net. And those two episodes, the first episode introduced us to Jeanette, her story, and the book. And then the second episode gives us practical tips for the Suddenly Single Mom. And now this one is practical and spiritual advice for moving on for the Suddenly Single Mom. So this is our entire series that's available on pjcmedia.net. What's really exciting about this series is that we're not just talking out of a vacuum. Jeanette is coming from a place of experience. And so if you want to get more information, I really highly suggest that you buy the book, Suddenly Single Mom. It's a devotional, 52 messages for the suddenly single mom to help you navigate these tricky waters. One thing about being a suddenly single mom is that life has changed, and you have to accept that change, and Jeanette is giving you that opportunity to do so. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, our final segment, final thoughts on being a suddenly single mom and moving on for the suddenly single mom. And if you want to weigh in, you still have time. Call in at 929-477-1965. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out joeytweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, we are talking to Jeanette Hanscom. She is the host of our series, Suddenly Single Mom, and we've been talking to her for last couple of months about her book, Suddenly Single Mom, a book of devotions for those of us who have been thrown into single motherhood. And this segment, we talked about moving on for the suddenly single mom, and I kind of want to do a summary of the things that we talked about, Jeanette, because I want people, let's say they couldn't listen to the whole show and they just listened to the last bit of what we're trying to say. Let's give a recap of the practical and spiritual advice for moving on for the suddenly single mom.
Okay. Well, what I would like to leave people with is the what I have discovered is that when life changes overnight, I think it's easy to give in to the idea that God's plan for us is over. And when what's really happening is that we're able to go into his new plan for us. So if you are a newly single mom, I just want to encourage you to hold on to the truth that God has a plan for you and that he is with you and that he is, you just don't know what the plan is going to look like yet. I think we want to know what the plan is going to look like. And when we don't, that's really unsettling. But so it has just helped me to know there is something. He has something. I just don't know what it looks like. And he has something for my kids. It's not always just about me, that it's about my kids too. And I've had to be really careful not to get so wrapped up in what I want God to do for me and the healing I want him to do in me that I forget that I have kids. You know, that I forget that I have a teenage son who also experienced some really difficult things and I don't focus on him. And so when we start looking at, you know, how we can minister to our kids and how, you know, what God's doing in them and how he's providing for them, then I think our situation starts looking a little less hopeless. So I think that's what my desire is for women who are in this situation, is that they would have a sense of hopefulness and a sense of God caring for them, that, you know, God can care for us in ways that our husband, even the best husband, cannot cover. Mm. You know, the best husband in the world can't care for us in the way that God can. And so I think when we can see him that way, we start to, I don't know, we become a little closer to him, and we start seeing the beauty in the opportunity we have to let our identity be about our, you know, who we are in him and his love for us instead of what we've lost. And it's easier said than done sometimes. I could wake up tomorrow and be pining away again.
Well, that's the thing about the growth. It's a journey. And some days you're going to have good days, but usually when those bad days happen, there's usually longer stretches between them. And
yes.
That's okay. There's
mm-hmm.
usually,
yeah,
you know, as you start to heal.
I haven't thought about this in a while.
Yeah. And sometimes you're grieving because you had this plan. Anyone, and we're talking about married people, yes, but for those of you, we understand that there are some of you who have been together with somebody for 10, 20 years, never got married because this is my husband, I don't need a piece of paper to say, oh, okay, I get all that. But, you know, we understand. So we're using under marriage, but we understand if you have a long-term relationship. You know, we're not being so holy that we forget about that, okay? But one of the things that we want to encourage you is that you can move on, and maybe the Lord can draw you closer to him through this process, you know. And not maybe, he will draw you closer to him and learn how to move on for the suddenly single mom, you know. So, Jeanette, if people want to get in contact with you, how can they do so?
You can get in touch with me through my website, which is JeanetteHanscom.com. I kept it really easy. I didn't try to do anything clever. Twitter, I don't do a lot of Twitter because I find it visually just kind of overwhelming, but I do have a Twitter account, and that is J. Hanscom Writer. And then Facebook, it's, you just look up my name, Jeanette Hanscom. I have a public page. And I write my blog once a week on JeanetteHanscom.com, and that tends not always about being a single mom. I just write a lot about what God teaches me through everyday life. Last week it was about what God taught me through my son getting his permit, you know, and how God provided someone to teach Nathan how to drive, because I'm never going to be able to teach him how to drive because I'm not able to drive because of my vision. So, you know, I if God teaches me something, I write about it on my blog. So you can so you can keep in touch with me there too. I love hearing from readers and people who have similar experiences to mine or just want to reach out. So I would be happy to hear from any of your listeners. And of course, my book's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, ChristianBook.com, you know, wherever you can find books, you can find this one.
You know, Jeanette, thank you so much for taking time to be with us on the show. Thank you for letting the Lord use your tragedy to give hope to someone else.
Thank you.
And I pray that someone is touched by this. And so what I want you to do in a few moments we have left, go ahead and pray for us today.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love for us. And I thank you for Parker and what the ministry that she has through this show. And for everybody listening, we all have our own stories and we all have our own journeys and we all go through them on a different timetable. And Lord, I pray that you will send each person listening today just a nugget of encouragement. Whatever is going on in their lives, whether they're single moms or maybe they caused someone to become a single mom and now they're listening to stories and feeling a little remorseful. And I pray, Lord, that you will give those people a glimpse of your grace and that you will be with our kids and be a father to them and that you would just show us glimpses of yourself today and remind each of us that you are involved in our lives. We thank you that you care about our individual lives, what's going on, that you created the universe, but you care about what's going on in our hearts. And that's just so amazing to me. So I thank you for that, and I thank you for what you're going to do in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Jeanette, for being with us. It's a wonderful prayer. And, you know, Jeanette, this is not the end of Jeanette. You know, I tell my guests off air and on air that I am not interested in short, casual things, but long-term relationships. So this is not the last we're going to hear from Jeanette.
I hope not, because I really enjoyed this.
But we've created a resource for single moms. And one thing the Lord has shown me over the years we've done this show is to create resources for people who may not go to church. They may just listen on their phone. They may listen here. And I hope that the Lord reaches you, those of you who are out there, especially for the selling single moms and the single dads. You know, I want to, you know, it's not always, you know, the man who's, you know, beating out a woman and all that. Sometimes you get a rough hit from the wife and the lady of your life, and they hurt you too. So I hope some of these practical tips help you as well. Jeanette, thank you again for being with us on this show. Cannot wait to have you back.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that too.
And we were talking today to Jeanette Hanscom. She is the author of Suddenly Single Mom, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. What we want to do is make sure that you are encouraged that even though you are a suddenly single mom, the story does not end there. In fact, the page turns and a new chapter begins. And that new chapter begins with you walking with the Lord as you navigate these tricky, tricky waters. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.